Real radio. Real internet radio.
Welcome to Extreme Edition. Enter at your own risk.
We've had our break. This is Daryl Chesser back with you again on the second installment here. And we've been talking about divorce with Dr. Stephen Houston. And I urge you, first of all, before we get going here, I want to urge you to be sure and check out his website at dr.sh@sbcglobal.net. Does that sound right?
Well, I can also go to the website.
Oh, the HoustonFiles.com.
Yeah, HoustonFiles.org.
H-O-U-S-T-O-N.
Yeah, the Houston Files, all one word, the HoustonFiles.org.
.org. Yeah. And I'm sorry, that first thing I told you was how to email him.
How to email him.
And then, of course, there's GD Radio, GD Radio, which is radio-land.com.
Absolutely.
And if you're listening to this program, then you already know about DarylChesser.com because this is exclusive, in the exclusive place that this show is going to air at this point. So, all right. So we were talking about divorce. We talked about some issues of adultery. And, now we're going to get into some of the nitty gritty, subject that if, this is probably going to be rated PG-13. So if children are underage, we're going to talk about sex.
Might even be R.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the sex aspect.
Well, you see, if sex is good in a marriage, it's only 10% of the marriage. If it's not good, it's 90% problem.
Wow.
So it's very important that people realize in the Bible it says that the marriage bed is undefiled. In other words, what God's saying is anything goes.
Between the two of you consenting, yeah.
Consent, yeah. And, of course, this needs to be understood that a man initiates, but that initiation, he is going to have to learn how to present his love for his wife that leads to sexuality and experimentation. And I know you've got some thinking on this. And it's very important that we deal with this subject because it's one that the church won't really broach. And, of course, the taboos of the jet lag of Victoriana, which came into the 20th century and then eventually ended up in the church being a long legacy into the 60s, where this was just never talked about by church folk, and sex was just for procreation, et cetera, et cetera. But sex was first given for pleasure. It's interesting that God never gave the joy of sex manual to Adam and Eve. Hmm. And I think you had a thought on that.
Yeah.
And
I just, on the porch we had talked about, I said if everything was perfect, if it was a perfect world, then two virgins getting married without movies, without television, without the influence of the outside society as it is today, not knowing anything, then the probability is that they would progress at the same rate and grow together and experiment and discover, and it would be great.
Until an interloper comes in.
Until an interloper.
And it presents the problem, because once you unpackage.
Once you open that door.
Yeah. Once you unpack something, and somebody that comes along that's better unpacked, together with the subtlety of the enemy, it can create problems, because they're more adept at charismatic and psychic projections and so on and so forth.
See, translated manipulation.
Yeah, we need to understand that sex within marriage is a wonderful thing. It's priming a pump of passion. And the Bible's all for that. You take the stories right through the Bible of love relationships that people had. And, in Christian marriage, really, I would pray that most loving couples would, have sex in the bedroom, sex in the bathroom, sex on the landing floor, sex in the kitchen.
This is why I'm careful when I go to somebody's house where I sit down.
Right. Yeah, you've got to watch the sofa. But that's the way it should be. And, of course, some Christian women are insecure about their body, and the body's a big thing to them and so on and so forth. But it's, in the marriage bed, it's undefiled. Anything goes. But there are some things that the Bible makes clear, that if you go through the door of, say, sodomy, big issue with God, another area that's allowable by God in a marriage, a Christian marriage, is masturbation between the couples. You know, whenever it's maybe time of the month or
whatever. Hold on a second. Mm. When you said between the couples, we want to make sure they understood.
Oh, but yeah, between
couple.
Yeah, couple, yeah.
No, okay.
Yes.
So when we say the marriage bed is undefiled, we are not saying ménage à trois. We're not saying swapping, wife swapping.
No, sorry, and clarification.
Taboo. Yeah, society, we have to be very clear.
We do. Unfortunately so.
Okay.
So I think that it is a very important thing, and I think that couples should study to show themselves approved, just like they do in the Word. Of course, men want to rampage in, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and then fall asleep. And how many wives?
So is that wrong?
It certainly is. It certainly is wrong, really. You know, I think it was de Tocqueville, terrible person to quote, but suggests that a man should fall asleep after his wife and wake up before her. That would be a good marriage.
And who said that?
De Tocqueville, French man, eats French fries, freedom fries, you know, just the physiology of marriage was a book he wrote. But, you know, it doesn't have to be that legalistic. However, couples need to grow together, and they need to get to know one another, know one another's bodies, know what it'll take to have this hotbed of passion evolve. Most men, they want just the thing on tap, where all of a sudden she does the dance of the 17 army blankets whenever they want. And women aren't like that. The day will matter to them, guys.
Yeah, we've heard that sex begins at breakfast.
Yes.
In the kitchen.
And even better with oysters.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, there you go. All right, so now, if the marriage bed is undefiled, which the Bible says it is, and one partner wants to go further than the other partner wants to go. What is love dictates what?
That's not wrong. But if one wants to go further and experience different adaptations, well, then they must go at the same pace as their partner.
Which would be love.
Through love, encourage that right. partner.
And if they were to, like, say, never go there.
Well, then that's got to be accepted. There's some no-nos that certain couples have. Well, she might not like oral sex.
Yeah.
Is oral sex wrong? No, it's not, because the Bible quite clearly teaches that the marriage bed is undefined. And
Bill Clinton says it's not even sex.
Well, there's always that. And he carries a Bible.
There you go.
But, you know, it has to be understood that people need to be encouraged in things, perhaps. But then if there are definite no-no, well, then it's off limits until the time that love may birth something.
Yeah. Since we're on this taboo subject and it's going to be on an off page on my site, you know, like restricted.
An off page?
What's yeah, restricted.
Is that sold in a...
Going to have like a... You're going to have to email in for...
Special brown paper bag to give it over the counter?
You're going to have to email in and with some essay of why I should let you in, and we'll give you a password to get in on this page.
Are you able to return it?
No. No. Yeah. Once you purchased it, done.
That's it.
You break it, you buy it. You mentioned sodomy before. Mm-hmm. For clarification for the audience, what is sodomy? Are we talking about the anal thing?
The anal sex, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it really is, even in a medical sense, very unhealthy.
Well, duh.
For both parties. And it really is infection, all kind of infection.
Yeah.
The rectum was not made for the human penis.
Well, it was made for infection. Its entirety was to process food and bad stuff and move it on out.
That's right.
And, I mean, it was never intended for the other.
Mm.
So, I mean, that just, don't even get me started there.
Mm.
I mean, when you think about the whole homosexual thing, you go, what were you thinking?
Absolutely.
Hey, if you're into that, we love you guys, but I got to tell you, you're just nuts, man. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. So that would not be something.
And this is a program I'd like to do again. I'd like to deal with this issue of homosexuality as well. I'd like to deal with this on a different broadcast. But there's some reasons for that, and we need to clarify a lot of things, because teenagers, particularly today, they experiment. Then they think they are that way, which is not necessarily so, and we need to address that one as well.
Yeah. I mean, we're here. If you want to address it, we can while we're going past it?
Well, it's an important thing. You know, I wasn't one of those. I went to an all-boys school in Belfast, actually, but there was those jerks at the back of the class that started, you know, making an exhibition of themselves, which developed, and all it was is just a basic puberty and coping with their sexuality and coping with all that. And some of them ended up in homosexuality because they led themselves to believe, and the environment in which they were in, that they were in fact homosexuals, which wasn't necessarily the case. It was experimentation.
Like the old song, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. Right?
Well, yeah. But, you know, the bottom line with it is that when you go on through that door mm-hmm. on a continued basis, like you were talking about seed and the seed of the word,
yeah,
and you go allow that seed to take root in your heart, not just mental or emotional or the trauma of teenage lifestyles, particularly these days with yeah. booty love sessions between kids and all this kind of stuff that's going on at the present time, and rap music that they listen to that just invokes every kind of debauchery. Well, I think it's important that we define exactly that every single human being is different, and people will go through some doors that will have more effect on them than others. But it's important to realize that God can and will redeem all.
Yeah.
It isn't until someone gives you up to reprobation that you're continuously in the hell of your own making.
Romans chapter 1.
Romans chapter 1.
Yeah.
However, you know, I would just like to say, and if you're a teenager listening to us and you've experimented with this stuff and you broke through that barrier of going, and you knew it was wrong, but you went on there and the pleasure side of it took over, well, then you need to really take stock of your situation at the present time.
It's a dangerous journey.
Dangerous. It's a one-way street to nowhere.
Yeah, on so many levels.
Absolutely.
We are, what you mentioned seed just a minute ago, and then we'll get back on track. I was just, we were talking on the porch about the similarities between faith and sin.
Mm-hmm.
The same principle, same thing. The Word of God tells us in Mark chapter 4 and Luke and Matthew, and tells us all these places that the Word of God is seed.
Mm-hmm.
Seed from the garden on was like, you know, they're going to reproduce after its kind. Mm-hmm. Seed time and harvest is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to grab that and push a little lever on the side.
Oh, right.
Just, yeah, just on the side, that rocker. Thank you. So, sorry, phone was ringing. So we had talked about this James chapter 1, if you want to look at it. It says, verse 14 of James chapter 1, it says, but each one of you is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now, here's a key thing to understand if you're a young person or even an old person. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is just temptation.
Correct.
It doesn't get into sin until we get to this next verse here. This is, thoughts come to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Desires, everybody has them. What do you do with them?
Mm.
Do you begin to get the word involved? Do you sow the right seed, or do you continue to contemplate and think about this temptation?
Because
the more you think about it, the day's going to come when that thought, verse 15, then when desire has conceived, in other words, the thought, the lust, you've thought about it enough, now it's gotten down into your heart. It's not a thought anymore. It's in your heart. So it's beginning to grow. And then it goes on and says, then it gives birth to sin. So the action of that temptation is not far behind because it's taken root. And then sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Now, the opposite of that, of course, is the Word of God. When you think about it and you meditate on it, the day is going to come when certain things will drop down into your heart and it will bring forth life, eternal life. It will bring forth, like we read in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was a word spoken, received by Mary in her heart, by the angel he spoken from God. She said, so be it unto me, received conception at that point, and in 9 months' time, a physical body came from her. I mean, that's how real the word is. That's how real sin is. It'll come from that seed. So if you're in that time of life where you've experimented, it doesn't mean you're there. You may not be, like you say, a homosexual. You may have just made some stupid mistakes. Don't get trapped. turn those thoughts off, begin to give your thoughts to God, begin to give your heart to God, mm-hmm. and let him turn this thing around. Don't exactly. give in to this stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
The devil wants to make you think you are what you are, you never can change.
Mm-hmm.
That's just bull.
And getting back to couples, it's interesting to the difference between lust and love, which can tend to happen even in a marriage situation. What happens is, yes, he gave, he was giving in his love relationship and passionate in his sex, and a sexual relationship with his newfound bride. And what happens after a period of time is the deception of beginning to withdraw, not in a physical sense during the sex act, but to withdraw into an objective study of the sexual act from selfish perspective.
So it's not making love anymore, it becomes sex. Mm-hmm.
Rather than the continued giving and the warmth of that. And from time to time, husbands have found that the sex is far better whenever it's giving. You know, they can get off on the kick of the objective study of the situation which they're in, the actual act of it. But the trouble is that the fantasy can take over, just like in masturbation in teenage years, where fantasy begins to take over from reality, even within the marriage bed. So his head is nowhere where the wife's is.
So he may be thinking about somebody else. She may be thinking about somebody else while they're with each other.
Exactly. It may have gone that far. And then again, we're coming to a recipe for disaster within a marriage, and how many have gone along to get along and so on and so forth, but the seeds are sown there. And that's why we have on ABC now, Desperate Housewives. You know, that's the reason, because our society today bears out the reality of this, and we're all tongue-in-cheek and having great humor about it, but the reality of it is because people